You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and today we take stock of OPEC's recent decision to gradually raise output by about 500,000 barrels a day starting in January. Now, this was not an easy decision from OPEC and friends to do. However, it has provided oil markets a little bit of stability in the last couple of sessions. Will this last, though, into 2021, given the fact that the oil industry is also grappling from the debilitating effects of the COVID-19 pandemic? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Dave Ernstberger, the global head of commodities pricing at S&P Global Platts, to discuss what all of this will mean for crude markets moving forward. Dave, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health out in London. And welcome back to the show. It's been a while, sir.
Good morning, JP. It's always a pleasure to be here.
All right. So, Dave, let's start off with the decision by OPEC last week when they did decide to increase output by about 500,000 barrels per day among OPEC and friends. So far, crude prices until this morning saw this as a bit of a positive, actually. Now, is this a sign, though, based on what you're seeing, of that it's a tolerable output raise? And might the value actually be from soothing some of the internal tensions among OPEC that made getting to this decision a little more tricky than, say, previous meetings?
Yeah, so the discussions in Vienna were especially difficult and emotional and argumentative, even by OPEC standards, and those are always tricky meetings. The agreement to increase production by 500,000 barrels a day masks the long-term uncertainty that OPEC itself and OPEC Plus is entering a very challenging period of time here. As for the amount itself, 500,000 barrels a day is generally agreed to be, you know, an amount that the markets can relatively easily deal with. You know, after the year that we've had, an extra 500,000 barrels here or there, I think people feel pretty relaxed about it. And, you know, it comes at an interesting time, JP. Here in the UK, we're told that vaccines will start to be distributed from Tuesday. And that's the kind of sentiment in the global market that this is coming into, which is to say there's light at the end of the tunnel in the pandemic. There's a sense that demand will begin to continue to recover from here. And against that backdrop, this increase is good news.
Right. Now, one thing that was interesting, comments, I think, from the energy minister of Russia after the meeting, he did say that the group was planning to revisit this output decision on a monthly basis and could potentially raise output by 500,000 barrels a day at each turn or at each month in the first quarter of 2021. But, you know, Dave, given how contentious things were in the recent negotiations, will this prove to be difficult with each passing month? And also, what does it say that a non-OPEC member like Russia seems to hold so much sway over the discussions?
Good points, all of these, really. So Russia was on the side of countries that wanted to completely relax production constraints, or at least allow 2 million barrels a day or so of production to come back in the market, which had been originally contemplated. Saudi Arabia was on the other side of that, wanting no increase in production whatsoever, just to roll over cuts as they were. So this is a compromise agreement, the immediate 500,000 barrels a day, and thereafter every month, potentially another 500,000 barrels a day, as you rightly say. And the idea that OPEC will get together and make this call with OPEC and OPEC Plus on a monthly basis should keep everybody on eggshells for weeks and months to come. Already, there has been a lack of clarity about when they will meet in January to discuss the next rollover, and I think they're still nursing bruises from having met in December, quite frankly. So we're going to be, one of the results of this decision is we're all going to be on tenterhooks, waiting for when the dates will be set, who will be showing up, what will the mood be, how will they make a decision, and all of these questions and all of this uncertainty will keep the markets a little bit edgy. However, they have mitigated that by saying that production can't move up or down by more than 500,000 barrels a day, no matter what they do in those meetings. So they've given the market a little bit of assurance there, or a little bit of clarity, that there's always a wiggle room of 500,000 barrels a day every time they meet, but no more or no less than that, I suppose, if you look at it up or down. Now, the fact that a non-OPEC country such as Russia has so much sway over what the discussions are is a sign of the times that we're in. You know, Secretary General Barkindo brokered the first ever major agreement with OPEC plus countries to be part of this, non-OPEC countries to be part of this, and the price that you pay with expanding the group beyond its membership to get non-members involved is you have to continue to curry the favor of those countries, and Russia is the ringleader of the non-OPEC countries. It speaks for that group.
Interesting. We're still speaking to Dave Ernsberger, the head of commodities pricing at S&P Global Platts today on Money FM 89.3. Now, there was another interesting report leading up to the meeting, though, Dave, where they hinted, and I think you might have seen this also, that the UAE was actually considering a potential withdrawal of their OPEC membership. Whether or not this was something they were taking seriously or not, should industry watchers be a little concerned or factor in the potential weakening of OPEC at the seams? And how could this impact markets moving forward, and especially given how important OPEC is in terms of setting prices in global crude markets?
Yeah, OPEC membership has always been a little bit fluid, especially on the fringes of the group. So Indonesia has been in and out and in and out again. Qatar left the organization a few years ago because of the ongoing blockade in the GCC against them. So membership's always been fluid. And the core of the group and the core ambition will probably remain the same for as long as oil is a significant part of our lives and as long as those countries have a big stake in the price. So I wouldn't say people should be too concerned. Having said that, the UAE making noises about leaving is a different kind of a noise level, and it's worth continuing to pay a little bit of attention to that because, as I mentioned, on the boundaries or on the peripheries of the membership, the smaller producing countries, there's always been volatility there. But for a major member to walk away would be chronic instability. However, I think, as you rightly intimate, maybe people didn't necessarily take that too seriously.
Fair enough. Now, Dave, you know, crude markets seem to be trying to take hope from these COVID-19 vaccines, and you did hint at some of it pointing at a potential light at the end of the tunnel. But how much upside can crude markets perhaps take from a potential end market of this pandemic, especially because there is the potential for this to be capped by these oil producers who are looking for any reason to turn on the taps?
Yeah. So our current price outlook from S&P Global Platts Analytics is that crude oil prices don't have much runway to get much higher than $50 to $55 a barrel on a Brent-related basis, which is not much higher than where we are now. And that is very much because of the kind of adjustments you're talking about. So not only is it likely that OPEC will increase production within the bands that we've been discussing today if we see oil prices rise by very much, and that will naturally keep the market a little bit capped out, but also we shouldn't forget, although we haven't talked about it much lately, U.S. shale producers are also, you know, ready in the wings and able to bring some new production to market. So there's always OPEC production, then there's OPEC plus member production, and then there's U.S. shale production. So three waves of production that have been held back off the market for the better part of 9 months now, which are all ready to come back. So the upside is pretty limited. The only thing stopping the market from testing the downsides is this sort of fragile consensus among OPEC plus around what it'll do for the next 3 months.
Right. And how might this be related, Dave? And this is my final question. How might this be related to these news reports you've gotten over the last couple of months of these number of oil majors who've been pulling back on long-term capex and oil exploration? Is this also because there isn't an expectation of much of a significant oil price recovery because of all of these things we've mentioned? And more importantly, do you think that this actually supports the skeptics who think that the golden age of oil is over?
Well, I think the golden age of oil is over for listed companies with shareholders who are looking to them for the next chapter of their journey, if they stay with them at all. So if you talk about the global majors and their capex budgets, one of the reasons we've seen them scaling back from oil and gas and hydrocarbons across the board is because they're being asked by shareholders to redirect those funds towards energy transition markets, new energy solutions, hydrogen, other forms of bringing energy to consumers around the world. So, you know, I think that the capex cuts you're talking about are really about the 5, 10, and 15-year journey of the oil markets, where I think, you know, Western companies in particular with activist shareholders or at least mindful shareholders are looking for those companies to make a transition themselves, leaving oil to other companies and other organizations and other spaces, really. But I think the golden age has passed from a PR perspective. However, we can all be reasonably assured that over the 5 or 10 years ahead of us, prices will become more volatile again. That's the nature of these markets. They will move higher. They will move lower. But it may be different participants that are taking part.
Interesting enough. I'd like to thank Mr. Dave Ernsberger, the global head of commodities pricing at S&P Global Platts, for taking some time out of his schedule to join us today and discuss OPEC's recent decision with regards to output in the first 3 months of next year and how this might shape the direction of crude markets moving forward. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety in these times, Dave, and we look forward very much so to the next time you're able to join us on the show. In the meantime, have a great December ahead, sir.
Thanks, JP. Stay well.